Helen, good morning.
Good morning, Tess. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. So firstly, could you tell us a little bit about the environmental and cultural significance of the MacArthur River for the Barula community?
Sure. Look, the MacArthur River has a huge importance to this community, both culturally for the Indigenous groups around there. It's part of the track that the Rainbow Serpent took through the area. There are a lot of dreaming stories and dreaming sites that are connected with it. It's incredibly culturally important to several of the clans around there, to all of the clans around there. But it's not just that. It's also the source of water and food for a lot of people. Obviously, people will buy food in Borroloola and, shop in that kind of way. But there are also a lot of people who not just rely on the river for food, but also want to continue, traditional practices. And then people living out on homelands that want to be able to fish and hunt around the region in the way that they and their family have been doing for, thousands of years. So the MacArthur River is vitally important to these people who live around the area. And the mine has had an enormous impact on it, especially since it went open cut 10 years ago.
And so what is the kind of agreement that the Glencore mine is trying to establish in Borroloola?
So what they've got is, for the last 10 years, the mine has been open cut, and that's the source of this enormous waste rock pile that's on the outside of town. And I was quite shocked driving in. It's the first thing you see before you get to town, and it's the size of a suburb, and it's 80 metres high, and it's a pile of rock. Now, what they want to do now is their current agreement ends next year for mining. What they want to do is extend for another 20 years to continue mining until 2037. They received approval for that in 2013, but then there was a series of contamination incidents, including the waste rock pile actually catching fire. It's very, don't want to get too technical about it, but it's very combustible acid-forming rock that's a large portion of that pile, and it caught fire, and they weren't able to put it out for about a year. So that sent sort of toxic smoke across the region for a really long time, which, a lot of people, the awareness of that wasn't great because it is such a remote place that could happen for a year, and most of the country sort of doesn't really think about it. So that's what has prompted the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to tell them that they had to go back to the drawing board and come up with a better plan if they want to keep going for another 20 years. And that's what's under consideration now, this new plan they have for how they're going to manage it and how they're going to clean up afterwards.
And do we have any indication on, I guess, how they are going to manage it and clean up afterwards?
It's a very complicated plan that they've got, and it's very comprehensive. They spent 2 years on it and printed out and stacked in folders. The report actually stands about a metre high. It's enormous. And this is one of the concerns that the community has, and that they've all got 6 weeks to understand and respond to it. Now, even the lawyers, like the Environmental Defenders Office and advocates like the Environment Centre NT, even they're sort of struggling to understand a lot of it, so they're having to bring in scientists and consultants. So, and then they're having to sort of translate it again for community members and put together these responses, which were due last week. The NT and federal governments will then decide on that, based on the responses that people have and the concerns that they have. But the main concerns that people have, because I won't take you through the whole report, but the main concerns that people have are around a couple of aspects. One is that the best practice says that waste rock pile should be reburied in the pit and covered over to ensure that all the acid-forming rock and the other problematic rock within it doesn't leak into the into the water table and into the system. That's too expensive, Glencore said, basically. So they've got another plan to cover it up and hope that it doesn't combust again. They also want to re-divert, over the course of about 40 years, re-divert the MacArthur River back through the pit. People are, regardless of what the science says, people are very, very nervous about that because as far as they understand it, that means the river is going to be going through this, previously very, very toxic, gigantic hole in the ground, and they're thinking that those toxins are going to get picked up by the water in the river and it's going to poison the rest of the country. So it's a very complicated thing. It's a very concerning thing for a lot of people. And they're really, really, I guess, relying on the goodwill of Glencore to stick around and clean up, which they say will take up to 300 years of monitoring. And they're also relying on future NT and Australian governments to actually enforce this and make sure that they do stick around.
And so just before I do let you go, Helen, I guess, is there any community action at all regarding these extensions? And even if there was any community action, would there be any potential to actually stop these extensions?
Look, it's highly unlikely that they're going to stop the expansion. I mean, it hasn't been reapproved yet. It's still under assessment by the NT and the federal government. But no one I spoke to is really expecting them to turn around and go, no, you have to close next year. That said, we could be surprised. You never know. There is a very strong group, sense of activism in the town among some people, particularly among those who don't have much traditional ownership over the area, and they live downstream, and they're sort of affected by the mine, but don't have much influence over what happens with it. There are a couple of long-term activists, people like Stuart Houston and Nancy McDinney, who have been sort of protesting and lobbying on this for years. They also have a lot of support from the Lock the Gate Coalition, the Environment Centre, and those sort of groups. So I guess we'll be waiting to see what happens if the mine is given approval for its expansion, whether some more protest and activism actually kicks off to see if they can stop it in the end.
It's definitely one to keep an eye on. Helen, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
My pleasure.